Rob Ford. You know
what
time it is?
Dr. Dre, what's going on?
You know what time? You know what time it is? Let's get this party started.
Your time is up, my time is now.
You can't
yeah. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot us.
Go to Dutch Radio, talking sports with the 12th man. You know what we do this
oh, yeah.
Every
We're
Wednesday.
Back, America.
Every Wednesday. Love it. You know, the day is today is Wednesday, March the 7th. And no, Robert Ford didn't put a bounty on me, so I'm still going to host the show tonight. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. He's got jokes. Thanks, fans. I got to call in to show me some support tonight.
Oh, man. You know it's only out of love. That's the reason why. But, man, what a fantastic day. Welcome once again, Fox Sports 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And we got a pretty packed show as always. And for those who want to call into the show, the number, it is 424-243-9519. A lot of things we're going to talk about. So we're going to recap, obviously, the bounty situation in the NFL. And I think somebody got released today. I don't know who. Yeah, Peyton Manning. We're going to talk about that. Obviously, you're kind of beating that dead horse, but it's what's going on in the NFL right now. We're going to talk about that. We're going to preview the conference championships and conference that's going on right now for March Madness. And we're going to obviously talk about our final four predictions. So, pack show. Robert Ford, I would be remiss if I did not turn the show over to you, kind of talk about your feelings upon the bounty situation since it is affecting your team, the Saints, and I kind of want to hear your take on the situation.
Wow. I mean, I don't even think we have enough time to cover what I kind of feel about the situation.
Do your thing, bud.
Obviously, this is not a good situation for the Saints right now. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting offseason. We already had an interesting offseason with how we're going to be able to sign some key free agents under the salary cap. You know, we got a very tight situation with the cap. We got to pay Drew Brees a boatload of money. Carl Nix is worth a boatload of money. Marcus Colston is worth a boatload of money. And how do you figure all those guys under the cap? And now you got the situation where it looked like the league may come down pretty hard on them with some penalties. And, you know, it looks like Sean Payton will be suspended anywhere between 2 to 4 games. Mickey Loomis could be suspended. There could be fines. A couple of players could even be suspended as a result of this, as well as some draft picks could be taken away. So it's going to be real interesting to see what comes out of this. But it looks like the guy the league is going to come down on hardest is going to be Greg Williams. And there are multiple reports saying Greg Williams has been involved in doing this all the way back to his Tennessee days. And you know, one coach has been famous for these bounties over the years has been Buddy Ryan. And Greg Williams, anybody who knows football knows he's a disciple of Buddy Ryan. And there are reports that you know, going back to his days under Jeff Fisher in Tennessee, going back to when he was a head coach in Buffalo, going back to when he was a defensive coordinator with the Redskins and Jacksonville. And then, of course, he brought the foolishness down in New Orleans, too, unfortunately, from my Saints. And so the thing that kind of frustrates me, the Saints, we didn't even have a defense that people were scared of. The Saints win games based on their offense for the most part. And we didn't even have a defense that people feared. the Saints will win games based on offense. And so that's what's, you know, you got a bounty program and you don't even have a defense that's feared.
Well, I mean, what about whenever people, you know, your defense was very opportunistic, if I would say so. So basically, your offense would put those points up, and then, yeah, people would have to throw to catch up, and especially whenever you guys won the Super Bowl, the Saints were capitalizing when people make mistakes. Darren Sharper had an incredible year, a lot of interceptions, a lot of turnovers, takeaways. So, you know, I don't know if that was – I mean, I agree with you. I don't know if that's the product of being the bounty system, but, you know, you guys definitely had a more physicality with your defense too. I don't know what you want to talk about as far as that, or kind of how you feel about that. But you know,
well,
kind of like
there was an attitude to the defense. There was an attitude to the defense, but you know, one interesting stat that I read today was that Greg Williams' defenses, you would think with this so-called bounty program that they would be one of the most penalized teams in the league, and the Saints' defenses over the years have not been. They've been kind of middle of the pack to least penalized teams in the league with the defense, and you would think with a program like this in place, they would be near the top in penalties. And so it's just, you know, I think you can – I mean, last year, the only questionable hit that I can think of is when Steve Smith scored a touchdown and Roma Harper came out of nowhere and just knocked him out. And that was kind of very questionable. NFC Championship game a few years ago when they, some of those licks on Brett Favre might have been a little questionable. But other than that, you can look at any team in the NFL and you're going to see those kind of plays. And you know, I think, unfortunately, for the Saints, they got caught, but I can assure you that this is probably something that's all over the league. And, you know, another thing that I find kind of interesting with this situation is none of the coaches around the league are calling for Greg Williams or Sean Payton to be fired. I hear people in the media is calling for that, which makes me think the coaches know that they're doing it too. And, you know, and there's nobody in the business of the coaching fraternity that's calling out Sean Payton or Greg Williams to be fired. Which,
you know,
I find to be interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly about that too. And just to kind of like piggyback on that, and I always love our show, Robert, because we always get Sports Illustrated the same day that we're having the show. And, you know, unfortunately there's a big little article about the bounty culture, if you will. A lot of it's talking about the conscience inside of the locker room, and I know there's a story, a little side note about Ken Norton Jr. and how he was playing, and how he and Bryant Young were they tackled. I don't know if you remember this guy, Napoleon McCollum. They tackled him so hard, and they actually hyperextended his knee so bad that they thought that they were gonna have to amputate his knee or his leg, excuse me. And Ken Norton remembers that, and he talks about how he almost considered retiring because that, you know, that hit was so violent that, you know, he kind of kept thinking about it in his conscience. And I think, like you said, I think stuff goes on, and it's okay to have legal hits because, you know, obviously good, clean hits, that's what makes the game of football, if you will. But it's just a certain thing whenever I don't think we want to, you know, definitely downplay it as far as if you're trying to, like, injure somebody or put them out of the game or out of their livelihood. That's kind of where that – it's kind of like a fine line as far as hard hit, and, you know, yeah, certain things like that, too. So that's the thing, too, and it just doesn't look good, you know, as far as NFL. If you're basically saying, well, I'm going to be a headhunter and I'm going to take this guy out or you know, the team – the person that knocks out Tom Brady is going to get this amount. It just –
yeah,
it could be bad, you know. That's kind of the thing that I'm sure that we're trying to make sure that it doesn't get to that point. And that's kind of like
exactly
coming from the other side, too, you know. So,
think,
you know, obviously,
you know,
go ahead.
And I think that's where a lot of people are getting confused in this situation. I don't think it's like what Mike Golick says. It's these hits are within the context and the rules of the game. They're not anything that's illegal. So they're looking for hard hits within the context of the game. And Mike Golick even said it on Mike and Mike. He's like, you know, when we play, you know, we had these kind of bounties, but they were not to – we were wanted to hit players hard within the rules of the game. And I think if you go back and look at the film on the Saints the last 3 years, when they do have hard hits, it's within the context of the rule of the game. And even though the underhandedness of money, you know, I don't agree with that. And I think that aspect of the game needs to be removed, and from all teams, not just the Saints. Of course, the Saints are going to be the scapegoat of this situation, but I think that aspect has to be removed. But it's within the context of the game. You know, listening to Darren Sharper, he was like, "No, we just bring in the physical aspect to the game within the rules of the game." You know, we're not just purposely going in trying to hit somebody in the head or hit somebody in the knee. And Kurt Warner even made that comment. He said, yeah, the Saints gave me a tough hit in that playoff game, but he says if they really wanted to go after me in that game, they could have just hit me in my knee.
Interesting. So, and that's the thing, too. Yeah. I got you. Keep going. I'm going to look at the finish. Go ahead.
It's within the context of the game, the hard hits. I mean, we see ESPN every Monday night during the season do these jacked-up segments. Fans like big hits. We ooh and ah off a big hit. The NFL makes money off of big hits. And so it's, you know, it's a, you know, it's a fine line. It's really a fine line. I mean, all the way from Pee Wee football, the players get stickers on their helmet for big hits.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's definitely a topic. Like you said, I don't think there's enough time for us to dissect this in the 30 minutes that we have on the show. But, you know, definitely for those that want to add your thoughts, you know, definitely feel free to call us in at 424-243-9519. Don't forget to tweet us, if you will, at 12 Man Sports, all that fun stuff, and also on Facebook, too. So we're there to get feedback and your commentary as well. And I think just, you know, like you said, we are in a culture that kind of celebrates that. You wonder if players in the old times would be able to adapt, you know, like the Ronnie Lott. You know, there's a lot of the X-Raider players. You wonder, like Ed Too Tall Jones, a lot of these guys, Deacon Jones, if you will, that played, if they were going to be able to, you know, that style of play would actually be acceptable now. And I think the thing that we talk about it is you got these players nowadays that are bigger, faster, stronger, you know, and I'm sure that and maybe just the word bouncy doesn't sound good too. So, you know, that's just some things to think about. This topic, I don't think is definitely going to end. You know, I think we can still keep talking about this for the past couple of weeks. Unfortunately for you, Robert, we're going to have to keep talking about that as everything, as the hammer comes down. And I do think, as you mentioned, that the Saints are going to be made an example for Roger Goodell in protecting the shield.
Yeah. But the Saints are going to overcome this. And, you know, and they have great leadership. And they, like I said, they just got caught with their pants down. And, they were the team that got caught doing it, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty rampant around the NFL.
And I guess Brett Favre said,
you know, Brett Favre said this has been going on for years when it was brought up to him.
Yes. And I think, and this is the last thing, too, and I mean, do you think the fact is that whenever somebody brought it up that they try to cover it up? I mean, is that another thing, too, that you think is going to look badly? Because I'm sure at first never. You know, you kind of hear that somebody came up and said, you know, look, guys, you know, let's put an end to this. And it, you know, it was kind of covered up by Mickey Loomis and or maybe Sean Payton, you know, and then they kind of like, yeah, it's not going on or what. Do you think that has to have something to do with it as well?
Well, my take in this situation is that I think Greg Williams is a very stubborn individual. And I can see if someone came to him and tried to put a stop to it, that he could be a very stubborn individual. I don't think Sean Payton is involved in the situation as much as the media are trying to portray him to be in. And, you know, I think it wasn't made aware to him. I think it was probably made aware to him in the last few months. And but I don't think Sean Payton is involved in the situation as much. You know, they came out with the apology on yesterday. He said he's sorry that this happened under my watch. If you listen to his words very carefully, he didn't say he was involved in it. And even Darren Sharper said, Sean Payton didn't have a clue about this. He said, this was totally our defensive meetings only. But Sean Payton is responsible for it. He should have known. And but I don't think he was aware of the situation as much as people are making him out to be. And for people that are, and that's why you see Tom Benson is sticking by Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. They're trying to make Greg Williams the scapegoat in this situation. And because I don't personally believe that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis was aware of what was going on behind those closed doors with Greg Williams. And but that's to their fault too. I'm not saying, but you know, but at the same time, those guys don't deserve to be fired. If anybody deserves to be banned from the league, it's Greg Williams.
Wow, the Saints fan has turned his back on the ex-defensive coordinator Greg Williams. Well, we'll see what happens, Rob. I'm kind of curious to see.
Any cost of a playoff game against the 49ers. Call in, Saints fan. Back me up on this.
I still think you're a little upset about that game versus the 49ers, but, you know, it's all right. Moving forward, we'll keep it going. We've got about 14 minutes or so left in the show. So without further ado, let's kind of talk about another event that's going on. If you've been under a rock, obviously this day has been an interesting day that Peyton Manning has been released from the Indianapolis Colts. And I guess a lot of thoughts about this because, you know, everyone's been talking about this ad nauseum as far as where he's going to go. And no one really knows at this juncture. Definitely right now, but believe it or not, there's been a couple of surprise teams, Robert. I'm pretty sure you know, but for the listeners out there, you know, we got the Miamis, which, you know, it's been rumored, Washington, Arizona, if you will. But a surprise team that two surprise teams actually came out to me, or actually three, if you will. Houston, Denver, and there's a long shot as far as San Francisco, the 49ers as well, has reached out and said that they're interested in talking to Peyton Manning. Now, real quick, I got two questions for you as far as the two surprise teams, your thoughts. But if you are a young quarterback, would you want or would you be mad if Peyton comes in? I mean, would you want to hold the clipboard behind him? And where do you think he's going to go? I mean, what do you think about these two teams like Houston and Denver that supposedly already have quarterbacks, but they're actually looking to talk with Peyton Manning?
Yeah, real quick before I answer that, let's give the listeners a chance to call in. If they want to call in, the number is 424. What's the rest of the number, Andre?
243-9519. I got you. You're good.
424-243-9519. Call in if you want to jump in on this Peyton Manning talk or the Bonnie situation. But I still believe Peyton Manning is going to wind up in the Miami Dolphin uniform. I do not believe he's going to wind up in the NFC at all. I don't think he want to be in the same conference with his brother Eli. And, you know, I think their ultimate matchup would be to play against each other in the Super Bowl. So I still think he's going to wind up in the AFC. And so I don't see a team like Arizona or Washington or San Francisco. I don't see him winding up with a team like that. I still think Miami is where he's going to end up. And I think maybe there's an outside chance that the Jets may try to talk. But I don't think the Jets are willing to pay him big-time money. Because if you Mark Sanchez was signed a few years ago to big money prior to this new rookie scale came out. So they're not going to want to pay two quarterbacks big-time money. I still believe that he's going to partner up with the Miami Dolphins. He's going to go down there and play with Reggie Bush and Brandon Marshall, and he's going to bring Reggie Wayne with him down there.
Yep. Like I said, the thing and some things that you think about are, I mean, Peyton, you got to think about it. He's probably maybe 3 years or something like that, 3 good years in him. So you got to have a team that's not that far away. Do you think that's a good move as far as a team that, you know, they got a first-time head coach? You know, they got a decent defense. Is that really a good fit? Do they have a good line? I mean, you talk about weapons and stuff like that, but do you really think that is a good fit for him as far as not being that far away? Because, if I'm Peyton Manning, I want to go to a spot that, you know, you're a couple pieces away from actually making it.
Well, if you look at the second half of the season last season, Miami Dolphins were playing pretty good football. I mean, they weren't a great team, but they didn't have a quarterback either. So I think if you really look at the second half of the season last season, the Dolphins were really competitive. Reggie Bush was running the ball better than his hands in his entire NFL career. You still got a legitimate threat in Brandon Marshall. If he's able to bring Reggie Wayne with him, you talk about a guy that's probably still got a good 2 to 3 years left in him at the wide receiver position. You got some solid tight ends on that roster. You got a solid offensive line, a big, huge offensive line. You got Jake Long, a left tackle, and you got an opportunity where the Dolphins still have a top 10 pick in this draft. They can draft a guy like Riley Reiff from Iowa. Big offensive lineman. I know his short arms at the combine might cause him to drop a little bit in the draft. And his arms were measured a lot shorter than the scouts wanted him to for him to be a top 10 pick. But we'll see how that goes. But you still have an opportunity to get the offensive lineman there as well. to help protect Peyton Manning as well. If it's not Riley Reiff, it could be someone else.
Interesting. I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, I was kind of leaning towards you. I thought Miami would be a good destination. I'm not so sure anymore now. I mean, like I said, I agree with you. I don't think that Peyton wants to keep playing his brother. But, you know, you do have to look at opportunities. I mean, you know, if you're looking at a good opportunity, maybe it's San Francisco because, you know, if you look at them, I mean, you know, Alex Smith, you know, I know some fans may not think he's the answer there. He got a solid enough defense. That could be a good spot. Same thing with Denver, you know. I mean, and you're bringing in, like you said, Reggie Wayne, wherever Peyton goes, Reggie's going. I mean, there's even talk about Jeff Saturday. I don't know, you know, I think he may be an option too. So it's just there's a lot of moving parts with what's going on. I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this. I'll let you wrap up any thoughts, and then if you want to talk about any special free agent movement or any franchise players you want to talk about before we kind of wrap up and head to the big finale, which is March Madness, if you will.
Yeah, really quick. I'll just comment one more time about the San Francisco situation. I know there are a lot of fans in the Bay Area, the people who may be listening in the Bay Area tonight. Alex Smith's going to be starting quarterback next year, you know. Forget about Alex Smith is going to be your starting quarterback next year, San Francisco. He is your starting quarterback. Denver Bronco fans, Tim Tebow will be your starting quarterback next year, if you like it or not.
I hear there's weeping and gnashing of teeth right now across. No, I'm just joking. Go ahead. In San Francisco right
those
now.
Those guys
like, no!
In for their respective teams. Okay. San Francisco, Alex Smith showed a lot of improvement this past year under Jim Harbaugh. I don't think they're going to mess with that just yet. Not going to say he's a long-term answer just yet, but next season, Alex Smith will be the starting quarterback. I'm not going to say Tim Tebow is a long-term answer in Denver, but next season he will be Denver's starting quarterback. I can see Denver taking a chance on a quarterback as early in the second round in this draft, somebody to push Tebow. But next season, Tebow will be the starter. And so I would highly root out any possibility of Manning on either one of those two teams. I just do not see it. And like I said, my gut still says that Washington is going to try to kick the tires with him. But I think ultimately he's not going to want to play in the same division with his brother, let alone I don't even think he's going to want to play in the same conference with his brother, let alone the same division. So I can't see him playing, you know, against his brother twice a year in a Redskins uniform. So I just see him going to a team like Miami. I know he's going to have to play Brady twice a year. I think he'll still rather do that than play his brother twice a year.
Send all your San Francisco fans, send all your emails to Robert Ford at the 12 Minutes Sports on the show. Wow, I wrote down the day and the time that Robert Ford said that Alex Smith will be the starting quarterback for the 49ers. I'm not sure about that one, Rob, but I love the boldness in the – in the movie.
He will be starting quarterback in Niners next year.
And he is defiant about this. Wow. Dad out in California, he's thinking that somehow there's a miracle that Andrew Luck is going to hold out and say he wants to play for the 49ers. But we still don't see that happening. But, you know, like I said, I told him if anything goes down, if we see any movement about RG3 and possibly being the pick, you know, something's going to go down. But still, no matter what's happening, Andrew Luck's going to the Colts, from what I'm thinking. But anyway, Rob Ford, we got about 6 minutes here. Let's really quick jump into a big, big week. Obviously, March Madness is upon us. I know we're going to talk about conference previews. And real quick, I want to actually talk about they're talking about the four number one seeds are going to be pretty much in place or intact. And those are obviously Kentucky, Syracuse, Kansas, and North Carolina. So I don't know if people have been paying attention a lot to March Madness. Tough, a lot of things going on in the sports world. Kentucky is on a mission. And for such a young team, you know, you can talk about Calipari all you want. That dude knows how to recruit out of his mind. But this team is playing really, really well. So unless anything goes away, I would actually encourage the seed out. I mean, I know everyone's fans of upsets and fun stuff like that. But that would actually be pretty interesting to see the teams that actually make it, like, you know, Syracuse playing Kentucky, or if you will, and Kansas and as mentioned, North Carolina. And obviously, you're a North Carolina fan, so I just want to get your take on that as we start getting into the madness, which is March.
Yeah, I would. Those four teams that you mentioned, I think those are the four teams that are playing the best ball right now. And, you know, my personal opinion, I think Kentucky and North Carolina are the two most talented teams in the country. But I still think, you know, Syracuse is playing extremely well together as a team. And so is Kansas. His Robinson kid is unbelievable. But I think Kentucky and Carolina are the two most talented teams and probably will make a great national championship game. And it looks like North Carolina is starting to gel at the right time. The thing that's been hindering North Carolina throughout the year is that their lack of intensity on defense. And Kendall Marshall is the greatest point guard that he is on offense. He is a huge defensive liability. And so, you know, Carolina, to get it together on defense, which they, you know, won 8 in a row now, it looks like they're improving. I mean, they really put the clamps on Duke this past Saturday night. They got Duke off their spot off the 3-point line. They ran him off and got him off the spots. And if Carolina can keep that going, I mean, I tell you, I think the only team that can beat them is possibly Kentucky. And but if they can play up to their potential and play great defense, you know, this team is a strong national championship contender. I'm not just saying that because I'm a fan of America, but look out for the Tar Heels.
Robert Ford is bleeding, you know, blue right about now. But the thing about North Carolina, as you mentioned, very talented team, and you hope that Roy Williams is definitely getting them prepared as far as, you know, I think the defense is all about effort. You have to want to play well. You have to want to not just play in spurts, but actually, like, you know, we're going to commit to playing good because that's the missing piece. I know that North Carolina is a young team, as you mentioned, but, you know, at this juncture, everyone's going to, you know, you're going to run into a team that, or you're going to run into some team that's going to shut you down offensively. So you got to dig in and know how to play defense, as you mentioned. So, you know, this is something that they have the talent, but they have to do, definitely have to step up. And I don't know if that's because they're being young, because you look at what's going on with Kentucky, as mentioned, and you see how they're playing extremely well, and they're a young team too. So it's just talent, you know, defense, everything is kind of coming together at the right time for them too. So, you know, very interesting. We're getting ready to wrap up. For those that want to call in real quick, I'll let you get your last thought, Robert. I'm going to get a number and let you get your last thought. We're about 20 seconds or so from the two-minute warning. 424-243-9519. Go ahead, Robert, and finish your last thought there, sir.
Well, I mean, I know I would like our listeners to definitely tune in on next Wednesday night, same time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. The brackets, of course, will be unveiled this coming Sunday, so Andre and I will be breaking down a bracket. We'll have some thorough Final Four predictions. I'm going to go out and give an early prediction that Carolina will beat Kentucky in the national championship game, even without seeing the brackets. But I know we'll be able to have some thorough predictions once we see the bracket come this Sunday. So I would definitely tune in. And, you know, we'll definitely have a lot more information regarding the NFL free agency next week as well. And that's going to kick off on the 13th. And
yep.
Our show next week is on the 14th. So we'll be right in the middle of the free agency period. And, you know, maybe we'll have a little bit more on this bounty. So definitely tune in. Listeners, tune in, call in, get involved.
Definitely, too. Maybe what we'll do is we'll kind of have a nice little – we'll do like a bracket online or something like that, or a bracket over the show or something like that. I think it'll be kind of fun, if you will, too. So maybe we'll do something like that, get your thoughts, your feedback. For some reason, I don't know why the YP picks better than me sometimes in her brackets, but she always does sometimes. So, yeah, kids out picking people, so – this is going to be fun. I've done the scientific bracket. Now I'm going to do the hey, let's have fun with it back bracket. But anyway, folks, as Robert mentioned, please tune in. Definitely feel free to give us a call. Check out our Facebook page, everythingfacebook.com/12thmansports. We're on Twitter as well, at 12thmansports. And we have a lot of fun stuff, too. But for those that want to definitely check us out, we are here. Robert, any last parting shots as we get ready to wrap up the show?
I just want to apologize to the 49ers fans about Alex Smith, but I just have to be real tonight.
You know what? Like I said, I've given you all the information. Good night, everyone. We'll see you same time, same channel next Wednesday. Talking Sports is out.
Good night, people.
And keeping up with the show real quick, for those that want to follow after the show, obviously we have a great time talking. Little kick push is playing in the background, if you will. But, you know, Robert Ford, as always, I really appreciate you taking the time to break down all that stuff. I think next week will be very exciting because we're going to recap a lot of stuff that's going on with Peyton Manning. If any movement goes down, any surprises that are going to happen. And hopefully we'll get a chance to see what's going on with those brackets. And hopefully we'll get a chance to actually do a bracket over the show or something like that. I think that'd be kind of fun if you will get that submitted too. So your thoughts or anything else as we start to kind of wrap it up?
Oh, no problem, man. I think we had a great show. I know we stayed on one topic a little longer than we expected, but, you know, as we try to cover the hot topics in sports, and we make sure we try to cover it all. I think the Saints fans would like to thank the Indianapolis coach today for taking attention from the bounty. So so we'd like to thank y'all for having that press conference today and let Peyton Manning be the number one sports topic in America today.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you made a lot of good points, too. And I think the thing that we're trying to, you know, keep a balance here is that, you know, we're not naive to say that the boundaries are not going on with other teams. That would be foolish. I mean, things are going on. Boundaries are there. Ryan Clark from the Steelers actually tweeted, you know, who snitched, because it definitely goes on. I think the thing that we have to that just, you know, keeping a balance of it is it's just not good for the league, you know, as far as, you know, maybe the word bounty isn't the right word. I mean, you know, you talk about helmet stickers, you know, you talk about, you know, Ray Lewis wants to take the soul of somebody once he tackles them. I mean, there's nothing wrong with clean, hard football. I think it just looks bad as far as maybe the wording of it. And, you know, the fact that you want to intentionally hurt somebody in that person's livelihood, that's whenever – I don't think that's how the game should be played. I think it should be a clean game. I think it should be a game where you're not knocking out. I mean, if Tom Brady goes out, the league suffers. If Drew Brees gets hurt, the league suffers. If Peyton Manning is out, the league suffers. I mean, you want to see, you know, your stars play. You know, so that's kind of the thing that's where fans kind of say, okay, well, yeah, we like the hits. We don't want anybody to get hurt or, God forbid, get killed or seriously, you know, knocked out because of it. And I think you have to kind of protect that and watch the line too, especially as I said earlier, as players are getting faster, stronger, bigger, you know, it's, you know, more concussions, more other stuff. That's just not how I think we want the league to evolve.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, even when I'm going against teams, I like to see us going against their best. I mean, you know, you always want to beat the other team's best. You know, I want my best going against your best. And, you know, let's see who's the best team going to win. And so, I mean, I definitely like to see everybody play with their key players. But, you know, football is not a physical sport. It's a collision sport. Basketball is a physical sport. But football is a collision sport. And so, I mean, there is a physical nature to the game, and but, you know, there is no place for dirty play. You know, within the context of the rules, you know that's cool, but there is no place for intentionally, you know, hitting somebody after the whistle or intentionally trying to knock someone out and things of that nature. I totally agree with that. But you know, the game is going to be physical, and if you want to win in it, you have to play physical. So, I mean, there is that fine line. And but the dirty play is what you don't want. You don't want the cheap shots. And you know, unfortunately, every team has, you know, their fair share of cheap shots during the season, and that as much as possible. The helmet stuff and things like that, those kind of penalties, you know, we want to see less and less of that. I was saying, a good friend of mine sent us a couple of tweets tonight, huh?
Did he? Okay. What you got? You want to go ahead and talk about that real quick before we wrap up?
No, I don't see it. Can you see the tweets?
You know what? I have to log in and do that too, but we'll have to definitely check Twitter and see what was going on with that too. I apologize. Tell them that we'll definitely get those in too and keep track on that as well. And maybe we'll open it up for our little chat room as well too. So all as well. So appreciate the love.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I just got a message from him saying that he enjoyed the show and he sent us a couple of tweets.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll definitely, we thank you for listening and definitely feel free to encourage him to talk about it and all that fun stuff too. So good stuff. I'm logging in right now, Robert. Let me see if I can jump in here and see what some tweets were here. But good deal, good deal, definitely. Got some followers here. But, yeah, I mean, basically, like we said, you know, I think the biggest thing that we want to, that we just want to emphasize, and like I said, I agree with you, you know, as far as, you know, we don't want to injure. It's a physical game. You got to be physical to enjoy it, too. You know, so that's just some stuff that we're definitely, you know, as we keep, you know, kind of following with stuff like that, too. So, you know, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of things to think about, too. So, good deal. Yeah, I gotta find this, sir. Anyway, well, Rob Ford, other than that, I think we are going to pretty much sign off. I hope you had fun talking about it. For everyone else, it's going to be interesting because we're going to get a chance to hang out, catch some early college basketball, so we'll definitely maybe we'll do some pictures, show you guys some love, and keep the train going with 12th Man Sports.
Sounds great, people. Make sure you join us on next week. We've got some exciting topics to talk about. Next Wednesday night, March 14th, 11 p.m. Eastern. That is 5 p.m. Hawaii time.
For all the people out in Hawaii, yes, keep it going. Keep it going. I love it. Anyway, that's what it is. We will talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you later.
Good night, America.
Good night.